And welcome to AvWeb's AudioCast for Monday, September 10th, from the world's premier independent aviation news resource. Brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. About a year ago, New York Times columnist Joe Sharkey had the life-changing experience of surviving a mid-air collision with an airliner over the Amazon jungle. Most of us are familiar with the story about the Embraer Legacy's brush with death and the tragedy that befell the 154 people on the Boeing 737 that crashed after the collision. But Sharkey, as a private journalist and not representing the Times, has naturally continued to chronicle the fallout from the crash. He brought AvWeb's Russ Niles up to date on the legal quagmire that could result in the Legacy's pilots, Joe Lepore and Jan Palladino, both of Long Island, ending up international fugitives.
And now we're at the stage where we've got a couple of pilots sitting in Long Island and a trial going on in Brazil. How does that work?
Well, that's how they chose to proceed. I should say that I've been hearing. Now, I don't cover this story for the New York Times. I wrote about the crash and once or twice after that. Because I'm so deeply involved, I dropped out of the story for the New York Times. I do have a personal blog, joesharkey.com, where I've been subsequently covering the story, but it's as an independent journalist and not as a New York Times reporter. It's axiomatic that you don't criminalize an aviation accident, unless it's a terrorist act or something. And the reason you don't do that is that when you do, you lose the ability to find out what happened because everybody's afraid of talking, and that's exactly what happened in Brazil when the accident was criminalized and in my opinion, grossly politicized. There are tremendous aspects of anti-Americanism that were involved in the focus on these pilots. So we really don't have a clear appreciation in Brazil of what actually happened, although the truth is there. I mean, the reports are very clear and almost not in dispute that this was a series of personnel errors by air traffic controllers on the ground in Brazil who had the two planes at 37,000 feet, compounded or aggravated by a system in Brazil, an air traffic control system, whose technology over the Amazon, which is a vast amount of airspace, is notoriously faulty. There are radar and radio blind zones, which every international pilot who flies in Brazil will readily tell you exist. And the base cause of the accident, as it's now become very clear, is that a series of events happened on the ground. There was a mistake in assigning the Legacy to 37,000 feet. There were problems in not adequately monitoring the position of either aircraft at various crucial times. One or the other aircraft was out of commission, out of communications. And so at the final moment, when the transponder, which, as you know, triggers the collision avoidance system, the transponder, unknown to the pilots, was not functioning, that would have been the very final possibility of avoiding an accident that had already been set well in place. That didn't happen. The planes hit, and the rest is clear what happened.
Okay, well, you were telling me that air traffic control knew that the transponder on the Legacy wasn't squawking.
Yeah, that's no longer even in dispute. For 50 minutes in Brasilia, which is where the four air traffic, I think it's all four of them worked in the Brasilia. Brasilia was the crucial air traffic control center. First of all, there had been a shift change. There have been problems with training and communication skills, all well known, no longer in dispute in Brazilian air traffic control, demoralized air traffic control force. They're military people. They're forced to get out and march around and play military games when they really should be, running a world-class air traffic control system. At any rate, it was clear that 50 minutes before the collision that the Legacy's transponder was not working properly. The alarm was not raised. so the pilots were unaware of that. As you know, the transponder is not something that you would normally be monitoring closely, if at all. And there are issues with these particular transponders, which are in the Legacy and in various other aircraft. And I think in general, with transponders, there's a concern. It was certainly raised by the National Transportation Safety Board after this accident, that that when you're thinking about designing new transponders, they've requested and suggested to the manufacturers that you have some way that pilots are much more aware if something goes wrong, that there's an audible alert, which the transponders were not designed to do now. And furthermore, they're easy to, the transponder in the Legacy is near the footrest, and theoretically it would be easy to knock into it. There are also questions about the provenance of the transponder on the Legacy. It was a Honeywell transponder. It has a bit of a checkered, the particular piece of equipment had what appears to be a checkered history. What XL Air, the charter company, says they found out was a checkered history, that it may have been repaired and reinstalled as new equipment. Honeywell has not commented on that, nor has Embraer. All these things are around the transponder issue, and that's sort of the issue, that's the only issue that's left that is hanging over the pilots, is the transponder. No one seriously thinks that they deliberately flew at 37,000 feet when they were told to fly at 36,000 feet. That's no serious person believes that, although it's still part of the charge, oddly enough.
What's going to happen to these guys? They refused to go to Brazil to face the judge. That's probably irritated the judge somewhat.
Yeah, it has, actually. You know, I'm probably out of my depth speaking of the legal issues, but, you know, I've been following it on my blog carefully, and I've got sources in Brazil. We don't know that they're going to be convicted. If they are, they will be, in my opinion, and from what I've heard, they'll be considered international fugitives. There's no extradition treaty, but, you know, if you're a pilot and you land in a foreign country and you're officially a fugitive from another country, you have some peril. So I think that's a concern. Everyone who I deal with, and you know, I think everyone in Brazil who's followed this carefully, and certainly the outside organizations, are aware that the pilots bear no criminal responsibility, and if there was any responsibility on their part at all, it was certainly totally unintentional in a matter, you know, that should not be a criminal charge.
So their livelihood is at stake, because presumably they need to be able to fly internationally.
I would say, you know, I don't want to speak for them, but from what I see, yeah, that would be the case. They fly. What's the Legacy of super mid-sized? I mean, those are international. Those are international business jets, and they have to fly out of the country sometimes.
And that's New York Times columnist Joe Sharkey. AvWeb readers have been helping with the search for Steve Fawcett over the past weekend using new and current satellite photos. And you can join in, too. The links that you need are right on our homepage at www.avweb.com. Several AvWeb readers have already found several images that will be investigated further. So good hunting, and thanks to everyone for pitching in this search. The world's best website for general aviation news and information is www.avweb.com. If you'd like to comment on today's report or a previous audio cast, just email us at audionews@avweb.com. Today's report was brought to you by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. Look for AvWeb's next audio cast on Friday, September 14th. I'm Mike Blakeney for the AvWeb Audio News Team. Thanks for listening.